across the rugged Indian territory rides a tall young man on a mission of mercy. His medical bag strapped on one hip, his six shooter on the other. This is Dr. Six Gun. The National Broadcasting Company brings you another episode in the exciting adventure series, Dr. Six Gun. Gray Matson, M.D., was the gun-toting frontier doctor who roamed the length and breadth of the old Indian territory. Friend and physician to white and Indian alike, the symbol of justice and mercy in the lawless West of the 1870s, this legendary figure was known to all as Dr. Six Gun.
The town of French Moose Ford is a place of many specialists. The blacksmith, the wheelwright, the cooper, all of these gentlemen enjoy what might be called a monopoly in their respective lines because they are the only ones in town who practice that profession. In the manner of speaking, I too am a specialist. A specialist in everything. And who am I? I am Pablo, a gypsy peddler. I sell everything and anything that I can carry on my back. And this is my friend, Midnight.
Midnight.
He is a raven, and he too is a specialist.
No water. Beer.
He is a specialist in panhandling free beers. But in that trade, he is not alone in Frenchman's Fort. Among these natural monopolists of trade and industry are O'Shea, the proprietor of the Bull Run Saloon, and my friend Dr. Six Gun. We were discussing this one evening at the Bull Run. O'Shea had just heard a disturbing rumor.
I don't know if it's true, Doc, but one of the boys told me he heard this feller at the Silver Lantern in Chisholm City boasting how he was going to open up a place in Frenchman's Ford here. Right down the end of the street by the feed store.
Think he'll really do it, O'Shea?
It beats me. But, Doc, well, it just don't seem fair. I built this here saloon when this town weren't more than three Paiute Indians and a surveyor from the territorial capital. Now, how would you like it if some other doc come out and hung up a shingle right across from your place?
Oh, I wouldn't mind.
You mean it?
If you think I enjoy getting waked up three nights out of four because I'm the only doctor this side of Chisholm City, then you're crazy.
Well, I suppose so. All the same, I'd like to see how calm and ethical you'd be if some medico moved in and put your nose out of joint.
Hey, what's that?
Hey, ain't no army troop riding this way that I know of.
It's right down the street.
Say, Charlie, take over the bar. And I want to see a dime for every ounce of whiskey missing when I get back.
Where are you going?
I want to see who's hollering up a storm down the street there. Coming, Doc?
Oh, I'll finish my coffee.
You, Pablo?
Oh, I'm always ready for an expedition to see what's happening down the street. Lead on, McDuff.
My name ain't McDuff. It's O'Shea. You know that.
Very well, then. Lead on, O'Shea. Excitement was down the street across from the livery stable. There was a wagon pulled across the street, a high-sized prairie schooner with the canvas top stretched over hoops, the kind of rig you see heading west in the wagon trains. But in this case, there was a significant difference. For one thing, the canvas cover was a brilliant yellow with red lettering painted on the sides. And for another, on the tailgate of the wagon, a tall man in a flowing frock coat with silvery hair and a sharp and piercing eye stood with his arms folded, looking out over the gathering crowd.
What do you make of it, Pablo?
Nothing yet.
What does it say there on the side of that wagon?
Electricity is the force of life.
Well, what does it mean?
I don't know, but I have a feeling we are soon to find out.
Fellow looks like he's going to say something.
My friends, I have come to this town of yours on a mission.
What do you reckon he is, a preacher or something?
Who am I, you ask? Well, sir, I'll tell you. Back in the East, in those academic halls where artificial marks of learning and achievement are esteemed, I am Professor James Kay's Doctor of Philosophy and the Natural Sciences. But here among my friends of the territory, my neighbors of Frenchman's Ford, I am just plain Jim Case. And that's what I want it to be.
You okay with us, mister?
Let me tell you a story, my friends. 3 years ago, I was a sick man. I lay on my narrow cot in my lodgings at Harvard University, and the breath rattled feebly through my parched and fevered throat. The doctors talked in hushed whispers. They gave me 1 week to live. 1 week, my friends, think of that. 1 week to live. 1 week to draw the precious breath of life. 1 week to see the sun rise above the horizon. 1 week to smell the flowers and hear the celestial voices of heaven's choir, the birds.
Sounds like a mighty busy week.
And now, you ask, how am I then standing here in the flesh, robust and hearty, the flush of health upon my brow, the vigor of health coursing through my veins? The secret, my friends, is contained in one word, electricity. There in my lodging house dwelt an obscure German scientist, Herr Oberdorfer. He came to me and said to me in his quaint broken English,
I have here the secret of life. Let me give it to you.
And from beneath his battered waistcoat, he drew a simple mechanism, a mechanism, my friends, that saved my life and makes it possible for me to be here with you today. He placed this mechanism about my fevered body, and within 20 minutes, my friends, 20 minutes, I sat up and called the landlady and requested chicken soup. In one day, I was hale and hearty again, and I asked the humble Herr Oberdorfer, what was this miraculous mechanism, and why was it not employed by medical science? He sighed and told me the tale. I leave it to your common sense, gentlemen. If you were the owner of a lucrative medical practice, would you endorse a simple electrical device that would put you out of business? Oh, no. And so, my friends, to overcome this conspiracy, this gigantic cabal, in gratitude for my newfound salubrious state, I travel through the countryside, bringing to you at a nominal fee the miraculous powers of the Oberdorfer electric belt. Step in closer, gentlemen, step closer, for I can see that you are all anxious to hear more.
An electric belt. What's that?
Well, I didn't get close enough to see it, Doc, but what's the difference? Snake oil is snake oil, whether it is colored water in a bottle with Epsom salts or an electric belt.
Well, I don't suppose he'll fool many folks here in Frenchman's Ford. They're a pretty hard-headed bunch.
Doc, the harder the head, the louder the hollow ring when it is struck.
But an electric belt. I've got a picture of some tough skeptic, like O'Shea, falling for a swindle like that. It's ridiculous.
Possibly, Doc. Oh, he just came in the door now.
All right, Charlie, I'll take over.
What was it, O'Shea?
Huh? Oh, nothing much, Doc. Fellow with a wagon. I didn't pay much mind to him.
Professor James Case, or just plain Jim as he was known to his many friends, continued his pitch at the end of the street in Frenchman's Ford for 2 or 3 days. He offered the benefits of Herr Oberdorfer's genius to the populace at $5 a belt, with a free course of instruction thrown in. I asked Doc how he felt about the competition, and he answered most philosophically.
Oh, I suppose there'll always be some people who'll fall for a medicine man. But I'll keep an eye on him just to be sure he doesn't do anything serious.
On Saturday night, Professor Case drove his wagon round the livery yard and came up the street to the Bull Run where the usual Saturday night crowd had assembled. I was at the table with Doc, and we had the chessboard set up between us. Professor Case brought his drink over from the bar and stood behind us.
Your move, Pablo.
Might I recommend the bishop?
Possibly.
Do you mind if I join you, gentlemen? Case is my name. Professor James Case.
Hmm? Oh.
And whom have I the pleasure of addressing?
I'm Gray Matson.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Matson? Are you a cattleman in the district?
No, I'm a doctor.
Oh? Veterinary surgeon, I presume.
Not primarily.
Oh, you're a medical doctor.
That's right.
Oh, well, I assume you know who I am.
Yes, I've heard tell you're in haberdashery.
Haberdashery?
It's Al Belt.
Oh, yes. Yes, I see. Very humorous, Doctor. But of course you would feel that way.
Of course I would.
It remains a mystery to me, but everywhere I go, somehow or other, I seem to earn the enmity of the medical profession. Strange, isn't it?
Is it?
It is rather strange how these things take the same pattern. Almost in every community where I bring my mission, where there is an established physician, he feels called upon to urge the sheriff or some other law enforcement official to detain me for some trumped-up charge.
Practicing medicine without the proper certificates, perhaps?
Why, yes. How did you guess, Doctor?
It came to me in a flash.
But then, you see, invariably, the poor devil discovers that I am not practicing medicine. I am merely retailing a mechanical and electrical device. I do not prescribe, I do not treat, I am no more practicing medicine than the chemist who sells you scentless powders. Is that clear, Doctor?
I think I see what you're driving at, Mr. Case.
Good. I trust I will not have that dreary wrangle here in Frenchman's Ford.
Oh, I wouldn't want your stay in Frenchman's Ford to be unpleasant.
Oh, no, it won't be. I find, Doctor, that there is an astoundingly active market for the Oberdorfer electric belt. Perhaps you would do me the honor of accepting a free sample.
No, thanks, Mr. Case. Now, if you don't mind, we'd like to get back to our chess game.
At first, Doc was just mildly irritated. He said anyone who was fool enough to pay $5 for an electric belt deserved what he got. But as the days went on, I could see it was beginning to get a little more serious.
You see, it's this here electricity. Well, sir, now, if you get enough of that there electricity inside of you, you're healthy. When you're sick, it kind of all leaks out, and you just got to go collect it again.
Like air in a bagpipe?
Yeah, I reckon so. Anyways, that's what this here belt does. It collects electricity for you.
You mean to say, O'Shea, that you paid $5 to Jim Case for that thing?
Sure not. What do you think I am, foolish or something? I give him $5 credit at the bar.
Hello there, O'Shea. Think Piney can fix me something for supper?
Sure thing, Doc. Charlie, tell Piney to get up some steaks or something for Doc.
O'Shea here has just been explaining to me about the cause of disease.
Oh,
it's very interesting.
Well, tell me, I'd like to know.
Oh, now, Doc. It seems O'Shea does not have to worry about leaking electricity. He has bought a net to catch it again.
You mean it?
O'Shea.
Well, Doc, I didn't figure it'd hurt none. You know, I got that bad back after I got thrown from that Mustang a couple of months back. I figured I'd just let that electricity have a crack at it.
I told you there wasn't anything wrong with your back that rest wouldn't cure, O'Shea.
It hurts just the same.
Is this it?
Yeah. Shiny, ain't it?
And how do you use this interesting piece of materia medica?
You put it on, you see, Doc, just before you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And you make sure you're lying due north and south, so as to keep your body in the line of magnetic something or another.
I see.
I had to move my bunk clean out to the middle of the room before I could get it due north and south. There was a washstand in the way the first night I tried, so I was off 15 degrees.
Your back feeling better?
Well, I ain't had a chance to really try it yet, Doc.
Oh, now, this has gone far enough. O'Shea, don't be ridiculous. That man is a quack and a faker, and you ought to have sense enough to know it.
Now, hold on, Doc. Ain't I heard you say time and again there's things doctors don't know nothing about?
Well, sure, I said that.
And ain't you said there's some herbs and truck them Paiute Indians use that's better than anything you learned at that doctoring school back in?
Well, yes.
Well, there you are.
What do you mean, there I am?
If a Paiute medicine man, naked as the day he was born except for a coat of paint, can think up something you doctors don't know nothing about, why can't a German fella named Ober something or other?
Who's that?
He's the fella that invented the belt.
Oh. Well, that's not the point, O'Shea. The whole thing is an obvious fraud. Why, the sheriff ought to...
What, Doc?
Nothing. I guess there isn't any use in that.
Well, anyways, I'll let you know how it turns out, Doc. I'll get her lined up due north and south tonight and see how she turns out.
And so, slowly but surely, there began to develop a battle in Frenchman's Ford and the surrounding countryside between the followers of Doc Six-Gun and the converts to Jim Case and the Electric Belt. The Bull Run Saloon, once a happy, peaceful refuge in a hard and violent world, became a scene of controversy.
I'm telling you, Doc, I seen it myself. Why, you know as well as I do that old Grandy Harkin's been crippled up with that rheumatism for years. Well, sir, 3 nights with that electric belt, and I seen him prancing down the street spry as a spring chicken in a yard full of corn.
That doesn't mean a thing, O'Shea. Huh? 2 years ago, I had Grandy up on his feet without a sign of rheumatism. You know how? I gave him pills, pink pills. They weren't anything but sugar. Grandy's rheumatism comes and goes. There's no telling when.
Well, how about Charlie Everright? He had them boils that went away. And that bronc rider from the Flying W who had them hives all over himself. They went away, didn't they?
Confound it, O'Shea. Half the things that are wrong with people go away by themselves anyway. Every doctor knows that. All this fellow's doing is taking credit for cures that just happen naturally.
Why, even my back feels better.
Well, I'm glad to hear that anyway.
You just can't get around it, Doc. That Jim Case sure has got something.
He certainly has. He's got $5 of yours. And from a lot of other cloth-headed idiots around this town.
You call me an idiot, Doc?
Sure. If you believe that electric bill is anything but a fake...
Doc, you and me have been friends for a lot of years.
That's why I hate to see you making a jackass out of yourself.
Jack, that does it, Doc. I'm going to ask you to leave my establishment.
All right, O'Shea. Don't come back and see me next time you get a sore throat. Just wrap that electric belt around your neck and pull it tight.
Well, I...
Goodbye, O'Shea.
And so a pall fell upon Frenchman's Ford. There were arguments at the bar, strained relations at the church socials, and one or two shootings, non-fatal, over the relative merits of recognized medical profession as opposed to the orbiterfer electric belt. Despite Case's warning, Doc did consult the sheriff and the marshal from Chisholm City.
That's no use. Case is right. According to the law, he isn't practicing medicine. He's just peddling a therapeutic device.
Well, what are you going to do, Doc?
There isn't much I can do. He'll run out of suckers eventually.
I've never known a medicine pitch to do as well. How do you account for it, Doc?
Well, I don't know. I've got a notion that there are a lot of things wrong with folks that kind of come from inside of them. And there they are, sick as a dog, and there isn't any way to find out what's wrong or how to cure it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a person like that might get cured by anything that he believes in.
You mean faith healing?
Sure. Yeah. I've seen a lot of it out with the Indians. They'll give a fellow a strong physic and a couple of other dried plants. Then they'll do a dance around him and beat drums to keep away the spirits, and the fellow gets well.
Mm.
Now, who's to say what cured him, the plants or the drums? I suppose it's the same way with that belt. But there's one difference.
No, what is that?
Those Indian shamans are doing the best they know how to make a man well. Professor Jim Case is just collecting $5 a throw, and the devil take the hindmost.
The end of it came one night when Jim Case was sitting at Doc's old table telling the tales of the life of Herr Oberdorfer to an admiring crowd. There was a sudden silence when the door swung open and Doc Six-Gun stepped inside. He came up to the table where Case sat.
Well, Dr. Matson, sit down, won't you? Have a drink.
No, thank you. Professor Case, I want to talk to you.
Well, I am always glad to speak to a healer of the sick. Well,
I'm not much of a healer today, Mr. Case. Matter of fact, I just came from a deathbed.
Oh, I am sorry to hear that, Doctor. I'm sure you did everything that was in your power.
Yes, I did, but I was too late. I was out past the Three Forks settlement. The family out there, Hal Cutter. When I rode up to the place, Hal was half dead with the water fever. Before I rode away, I helped bury him.
You mean Hal Cutter's dead, Doc?
That's right. You may not know it, Mr. Case, but we got a lot of that around here. There are a couple of wells and streams that turn bad. We don't know why. And folks come down with this fever. You can beat it down sometimes if you get to it in time.
I'm sorry to hear this man's death, Doctor.
Wait a minute. You know what Hal Cutter had on when I pulled off the bedclothes to examine him? An electric belt. He'd been wearing that thing for 2 nights. 2 nights when he could have called me. 2 nights when I might have had a chance with the fever. The time I got to him, he might as well have drowned himself in the Three Forks River and saved time.
Is that the truth, Doc? You mean Hal Cutter was wearing one of them belts when he died?
Now, just a minute. Just a minute, Doctor. You have no guarantee that it was this fever you spoke of.
I know the water fever when I see it.
That's right. Doc's the one figured out how to beat it around here with them plants from the Paiutes.
That's right.
Well, now, Doctor, you realize that the use of the Oberdorfer belt is fairly complex. Now, perhaps Mr. Cutter was a simple rancher. He may not have followed the instructions.
That
and,
bed of his was lined up due north and south like a compass needle. Hal's wife showed me the markings he made. Now, Case, I stood by while you fleeced these simple-minded morons out of $5 apiece. But a man died out there because he put his faith in that fake swindle you've been selling.
No, Doctor. Now, I will back the electric belt with anything.
You will?
Oh, certainly. I have the utmost faith in the belt. Yes, sir, I would stake my life on it.
Mr. Case, you already have.
What do you mean?
That drink.
What about it?
You said you'd stake your life on your belt. Well, then, you better put one on.
What do you mean?
You know anything about water fever?
Yes, I do.
Well, then you know that it only takes a few drops from a contaminated well to finish you off. For example, a few drops from a vial like this, dropped into a glass like yours.
What are you talking about?
Just that. Just before you picked that glass up, I emptied this vial into it. I filled it from the well behind Hal Cutter's house.
Ah, you're crazy.
No. No, you'll be coming down with water fever inside of 6 hours.
Did you hear that? He poisoned me. I want the sheriff.
What's the idea, Doc? You gone loco or something?
Oh, he hasn't got anything to worry about, O'Shea.
Huh?
He's wearing an electric belt, isn't he?
Yeah, but...
All he has to do is go through with his treatment. Due north and south at night. Wear the belt during the day. He hasn't got a thing to worry about. He's chock full of electricity.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right.
Now, wait a minute. Did you really? I mean... What about ethics?
Well, I was sure you weren't in any danger, Mr. Case. I heard you say that your belt could prevent water fever.
Well, I know, but... Now, I'm getting out of here.
No, you're not.
Now, wait a minute, Doctor. I hardly expect you to draw a gun.
No. Now, you sit down, Mr. Case.
There. What are you going to do?
You and I are going to sit here for 6 hours. Now, I've got the powders in my satchel to treat the water fever, but you aren't going to need them because you've got your electric belt. So, we'll just sit here and wait and see what happens.
They sat at the table in the Bull Run Saloon for 1 hour, then another. The men drifted in and out quietly, drank and watched. Mr. Case sat at the table, sweating and fumbling with his long, delicate fingers at the Oberdorfer electric belt that went around his vest.
Now, look, Doctor, be reasonable. There is a possibility that in a case like Cutter's, the effect of the belt was lacking a vital electric charge.
Well, I'm sure your belt isn't defective, Mr. Case.
No, but...
Then you've got nothing to worry about.
It began to get dark outside, and O'Shea lit the lamps over the bar and brought Doc and Mr. Case a plate of food from the kitchen. Doc laid his six gun on the table and ate his supper. Mr. Case just stared at the plate until it got cold.
Case, you don't look well.
Yes? What do you mean?
Something in the eyes, a kind of a droopy look. One of the early symptoms of the water fever, you know.
Is it? Mm. Oh, no. There's nothing wrong with my eyes. Nothing.
Kind of feel your heart racing just a little. Not much, just a little.
No.
Of course, you've been sweating for a couple of hours. That's one of the early signs.
No, there's nothing wrong with me. Nothing.
Color doesn't look too good. But I suppose the electric belt is working full blast right now. Better be. No good dose of water fever can take you off in 24 hours. How's the heart?
Now,
Now, look, Doctor. You say you got those powders in here.
Oh, you don't need them.
What do you mean?
You've got your electric belt. Little flutter then, wasn't it?
Flutter?
Uh-huh. There, I can see it. There's a vein in your temple. There it goes.
No.
No?
Huh.
All right, let's wait a little longer.
No, Doctor. Doctor, please, listen. We go somewhere and talk.
But anything you want to say to me, you can say in front of the rest of these men.
Now, look, Doctor, between us, I mean, there may have been just a little bit of exaggeration. You understand. I'm sure that you...
There goes the vein again. You feel a pounding?
No, I can't, no. Now, listen, Doctor, for God's sake, give me the powder.
Why?
I'll die of the water fever.
How can you? You've got your electric belt. That'll protect you.
No, listen, it's just two pieces of leather sewn together with some copper wire inside. That's all it is, and I'll die. Now, Doctor, you've got to save me.
That electric belt is a fake.
Yes, only you've got to make him save me. He's a doctor. He's got to.
You're perfectly safe. You can't get water
fever. I told you the belt's a fake. It's a fraud. They cost me $1.25.
You still can't get the water fever.
But what do you mean?
Because that glass you drank had nothing but O'Shea's rotten barrel whiskey in it.
But you said you poured that vial in.
I did say that, didn't I?
Why, you dirty no-good...
Now, get up off that floor, you murdering fraud, because I'm going to drag you around to the jail myself, and I'd be just as happy if we make it the hard way. O'Shea, you got that electric belt you bought?
Well, yeah. I got it right here.
Well, take it off. We'll tie his hands together behind him. Come on, Case. On your feet, let's get going.
Weeks later, another wagon pulled into Frenchman's Ford, and a gentleman in buckskins and a broad hat, who announced himself as old Colonel Masterson, the natural healer, with an elixir of life at $1 a bottle, was very surprised when an angry mob overturned his wagon, broke every bottle of the elixir, except a dozen which they forced him to consume, and sent him out of town. All this before he even announced what it was he had to sell.
You've been listening to Dr. Six Gun. Doc Six Gun is played by Carl Weber and Pablo by William Griffiths. Today's script was written by Ernest Kenoy. Heard in the cast were Leon Janney as Professor Case and William Keane as O'Shea the bartender. Dr. Six Gun, a radio production of the National Broadcasting Company, is directed by Daniel Sutter. This is Fred Collins speaking.
Dr. Six Gun, starring Carl Weber as the frontier doctor with William Griffiths as Pablo, the wandering gypsy, has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.